ministers had hoped to spend this week in a post-budget glow, travelling the country, promoting their offerings. Instead, they've been in a spin, trying to beat back the blowback to a big, broken promise.
Look, I understand the frustration, I get it. I know what cancer sufferers are going through.
To promise it and then not to deliver it is just cruel.
We will meet our commitment to you.
Kia ora, ko Craig McCullough-Kahu, and a te pūrongo tō rangapū mō tēnei wiki. Welcome to Focus on Politics. I'm Craig McCullough. The Coalition's troubles this week trace back to last year's election campaign, to August the 21st, when Christopher Luxon made voters, and in particular cancer patients, a bold commitment.
Every minute counts in the battle against cancer, and we want Kiwis to have access to better treatments here at home to give more of them the chance to beat cancer and to get back to their normal lives. And that's why today we're announcing that National will invest $280 million over 4 years to fund the 13 cancer treatments the New Zealand Cancer Control Agency says provide substantial clinical benefit that are funded in Australia but not here in New Zealand.
$280 million a year over 4 years. That's $70 million a year beginning this year, as spelled out clearly in National's fiscal plan. The coalition agreements, signed in November, committed all parties to that fiscal plan and to the promises within it. And yet, come budget day, that funding was nowhere to be seen.
We regret that it hasn't been possible in this budget. There are significant challenges with the policy of increasing access to cancer drugs because it poses a fundamental change to the PharmAc model, in which traditionally PharmAc selects the medicines that it funds. Regardless, our government is committed to delivering on this policy through future budgets. Dr. Shane Retty, David Seymour are working on it, and those cancer patients will see more drugs funded in future.
The Finance Minister, Nicola Willis, had clearly anticipated the question, but neither she nor her cabinet colleagues seemed prepared for what came next. It began almost immediately, cancer patients lining up to call foul, speaking of the deepest betrayal. They were there on the TV that night.
I felt really let down tonight. Honestly let down. Really sad.
It's literally life and death.
And on the radio the next morning.
They made a promise and they broke it. And there's a lack of faith, I guess, a lack of trust in what they're committing to going forward.
It was such a clear promise. You know, like, it can't get clearer than that. And to have that hope just wiped away, just devastating.
Their stories were put to Nicola Willis by media. The plight of those in most need. The reality that some would die before seeing the promise kept. And yet, even so, she said the funding would have to wait for later years. Here on Checkpoint on Thursday night.
Lisa, it remains our commitment. And we've been really upfront over the past few months saying we can't fix in one budget all of the problems that were created in six. I don't think anyone expects that we would tick off every single campaign commitment in our first budget. We've got two more budgets to go. I really value that commitment around cancer drugs. The Prime Minister does too, the Minister of Health does too, but we were left with a massive hole where the PharmAc budget should have been,
budget, Minister,
and we've had to fix it.
Next budget, can you commit to that, to delivering on that promise in the next budget?
Well, I can't commit to anything until my Cabinet agree to it, so we've just got to take it one budget at a time, but look, it's a real priority for us.
And on the AM show Friday morning.
I regret that we haven't been able to do it in this budget. I would have really, really wanted to. And it's a commitment that we hold dear, that we want to deliver on. And I understand how those people are feeling. I absolutely understand that.
Next year, will it be there?
Well, we've committed that we will do it in a future budget. As the Finance Minister, I'm not all powerful. I do need to get the approval of all 20 people around the Cabinet table for every budget. And we take each budget on its own.
Still, the stories kept coming. The backlash kept building. Newspaper editorials condemned the lack of funding as a cruel lie, at best inept, at worst uncaring and cynical. One headline read, "Cancer patients shouldn't have to wait." In a column for The Herald on Saturday, the former National Finance Minister Stephen Joyce identified the broken promise as a significant blemish in the budget. He called it inexplicable and said it suggested a lack of political savvy. The error, he predicted, would be fixed in short order. That same day, on TVNZ's Q&A programme, Nicola Willis suddenly offered a bit more urgency, delivering a message down the barrel directly to cancer patients.
And I want them to hear this message today, Jack. We will meet our commitment to you.
When?
With urgency. I expect we will be in a position to make an announcement very soon this year.
This year. The Coalition at last was awaking to the seriousness of the situation. Listen here to Christopher Luxon on Morning Report on Tuesday, pushed to explain why the government had not met its promise.
We are totally committed to funding those treatments and we are going to keep our promise. Work is underway, an announcement hopefully will be made very shortly, but what we're working on is actually how we procure. Those procurement processes are quite complex, and I just say it has required more time than we anticipated, and we're just working out the best way to procure those treatments.
Sure. A couple of things there. In terms of the timing of that announcement, so before the next budget?
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
The Finance Minister talked about due urgency, so that would be when?
Oh, well, look, I mean, we've been working through a series of options even over the last 6-8 weeks. There's more work for us to do to work out the best way to procure those treatments. And as soon as we've got that, we'll talk as quickly as we can about that. But certainly this year is what we're planning.
So are you talking, is procurement the problem, not the funding?
There's two parts to it, really, as to why it didn't make the budget. The first thing is that we had to go find the $1.8 million for core pharmac funding, which wasn't anticipated, you know, in the numbers we saw at the election time, but became apparent once we were in government. That's important to do that job. That would have been unacceptable not to have funded the core pharmac program. The second thing is genuinely, there's a number of options that are available as to how we best procure what is a very complex process and with these 13 cancer treatments, and we're going to continue to work our way through those. And there's a number of ways we can go about it. And that's what we're discussing and working our way through now.
The problem, though, that you can solve, first of all, is that funding. And you've obviously heard from the public. I mean, you've got a bit of a clean-up issue here.
Well, I just say I know how people are feeling. I know how frustrated they feel about it. I know what cancer sufferers are going through. You know, even this weekend, I was talking to a young man who'd just been diagnosed with brain cancer, and we talked a lot about it. And So I know, you know, we are taking cancer treatment seriously. It has become one of our top five goals. You've seen us do other practical things outside of cancer drugs around expanding breast cancer screening, getting LINAC and infusion services and PET scanners up and down the country.
But this was a campaign promise. It's in there in black and white.
And we remain committed to delivering on that promise. We're just
and the,
to make
the
sure
promise was
it,
for the 24 to 25 way. Year. So that starts in July.
Yeah, and that's why we're working really hard to make sure that when we put the process together to secure those drugs and those treatments, that we've actually got it set up on a sustainable, ongoing basis, that it actually works. And so that's the series of options that we're discussing and working our way through now.
Funding aside then, did you jump the gun in terms of not understanding the procurement process for those specific drugs?
No, what happened was we certainly hadn't encountered on a nasty surprise of being left by the previous government.
No, but on the procurement fund. On the procurement fund.
We had to go find the extra billion, $1.8 billion we had to go find there. And with respect, yes, it's taking longer than we anticipated in terms of just making sure the process is robust and a good one.
So you didn't understand the procurement process on Pharmac's side when you named those drugs?
No, we did, but we just want to make sure that we set the processes up in the right way for the best long-term outcome. But what I'd say is, look, I understand the frustration, I get it, but rest assured that commitment is going to be delivered.
Difficult to deliver on a commitment already broken. An alliance of 15 cancer advocacy groups issued an open letter to the government telling of their disbelief at the budget broken promise. Malcolm Holland from Patient Voice Aotearoa told RNZ's First Up that many of their supporters just do not have a year to wait.
Time is not a luxury that many terminally ill cancer patients have. And so as the letter states, we really do implore the government to act with the utmost urgency. I think it would be fair to say that not only patient advocates, but also patients themselves expected the announcement of the 13 drugs to be made during the budget and that they would be funded from 1st of July as per the manifesto. So time is a ticking, and I would urge Nicola Willis and the government to get a move on.
As of now, the timeline remains unclear. An announcement soon, shortly, this year, before Christmas. But even then, that's just for an announcement. As for when the actual funding might eventuate, who knows? The Health Minister, Shane Retty, initially told the Herald that the cancer drugs would not be funded till next year at the earliest. and he suggested that had always been the plan, to wait till revenue had been recouped from cancelling Labor's free prescription policy. Worth noting that contradicts what National's fiscal plan says. On Thursday, Dr. Reti told reporters ministers were working at pace, but he wouldn't say when the treatments might see funding.
You'll have to wait for further announcements on that. I don't want to be in front of the announcements we want to make. Having said that, we want our communications to be improved. We want to be better with that and better with our accuracy. So you'll just have to wait for that announcement.
As you've heard, both Christopher Luxon and Nicola Willis have partly blamed the delay on difficulties posed by Pharmac's procurement process. But those difficulties should not have come as a surprise. In fact, Labor's Chris Hipkins warned of that exact issue when National first announced its policy last year.
I think we need to be careful as politicians about picking and choosing which drugs get funded.
And he picked up the criticism again this week.
Being that specific in terms of what drugs should and shouldn't be funded, I don't think politicians should be doing that in an election campaign. I think it's wrong. They do this in other countries, and then it becomes really ripe for the pharmaceutical lobby to get in, and you know the criteria for access to life-saving medications becomes more than just the scientific and medical criteria. It becomes, you know, political access and all of those sorts of things, and who can run the best PR campaign. I don't think they should have gone down that road, but having done that, to promise it and then not to deliver it is just cruel.
Other complications have also been highlighted. Chris Jackson is a professor of oncology at Otago University. He helped identify those 13 cancer treatments which National promised funding for and put them in a report published in 2022. It was based on drugs available the year before 2021, which means the list is now 3 years old. Chris Jackson told Newstalk ZB listeners that was a problem.
There have been some new drugs which have come along which are definitely better, but I think also medical technology has got better in the last 3 years too, so there are some new options there as well. Some of the drugs on that list too were eye-wateringly expensive, and it wasn't a cost-based list that we drew up. It was a what has Aussie got but we don't list, as opposed to how much and was it worth it. And Pharmac's job really is to work out if the drugs that we are looking to buy are the best value. So personally I would prefer saying we've got this much money, and then letting Pharmac rank it and get the best deals like they've always.
It's an issue ministers are aware of, including Dr. Shane Reti, but it seems the list is unlikely to change.
We're taking advice on that, but we campaigned and committed to those treatments, and so that's what we're looking to deliver.
The difficulties for National are further compounded by the coalition dynamic it finds itself in. While ACT and New Zealand First have ostensibly signed up to National's fiscal plan via their coalition agreements, they definitely did not campaign on the specific promises within it. Nor do they seem quite so committed. ACT's David Seymour is the minister responsible for Pharmac, but when questioned this week about that cancer promise, he deliberately distanced himself from it.
My job is to make Pharmac work so that we get more pharmaceuticals funded, and we're doing everything we can to keep the National Party's promise as well. I just say that, you know, the facts are that we got an absolute hospital pass. When I became responsible for Pharmac, the advice from Pharmac was we have a $400 million funding gap. So first of all, we will start saying no more patients for medications we currently fund. And if that doesn't balance our budget, then we will start delisting treatments from the combined pharmaceutical list that will no longer be available in New Zealand. That's what we faced. We plugged a $1.8 billion gap. Now we seek to find money and find a way to ensure more cancer treatment.
Do you think it was a mistake for the National Party to name them specifically?
Well, again, I'm not here to comment on the National Party's election campaign. My job is now to make sure that the people suffering actually get the treatments they need as fast as they can within the framework that our country has for funding pharmaceuticals.
In terms of the backlash, do you think, in hindsight, was it a mistake not to prioritise them?
Well, I mean, that's a political judgment, and it's a political judgment for the National Party.
National's promise, National's problem. The potential solutions are limited. The government could simply power ahead, overriding Pharmac's model and directing it to fund those 13 treatments, regardless of Pharmac's own analysis. That would keep its promise, but it would come with a considerable cost and could set a potentially dangerous precedent. It's possible the government could set up another body to fund the drugs, or equip the existing Cancer Control Agency to do so, running parallel to Pharmac. The UK has a similar model, though it has its own issues. The coalition could also simply supercharge PharmX funding and leave it to fund the best treatment it sees fit. That would not strictly meet National's promise as outlined during the campaign, but many in the sector, like Chris Jackson from earlier, would prefer that approach. Note that all three of the options carry their own complications. No easy solutions when talking life and death promises.
Work is underway.
I expect we will be in a position to make an announcement very soon.
We're working at pace.
The coalition has promised urgency, but as Christopher Luxon said way back in August last year, in the battle against cancer, every minute counts. That's Focus on Politics. I'm Craig McCulloch. Thanks for joining me. Matewa.